This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Was life normal for you?
I think we always knew it wasn't normal, but it was our normal.
Exactly. For you, it was normal.
It was our normal.
Everybody else was doing what you were doing.
You know, you went on furlough, so you knew your life wasn't normal. But that was our normal. That was our...
It wasn't normal for... It wasn't the way people around you did it, but it was the way you did it. When you came to the States, how was it?
Oh, I didn't like coming back. Didn't like schools here. I could tell real quick that it wasn't cool to be African-American and like school. I'd pick it up in the vibes. I like to be in the middle of the crowd. And my crowd growing up on the mission field, I mean, you know, we were competing over who read the books. We were competing over who did the math and who did, you know, so it was academic competition and sports-oriented competition. And to come back here and, you know, the cool thing was to be the dumb one. Yeah, I didn't like that. But, I knew I wanted to keep up, but I also didn't want to stick out. So I would try to blend. I'd always tried to blend when I was here. But the whole idea was like, what, you know, when are we getting out of here?
So your life wasn't like it would have been in the States either.
Oh, no. Mm-mm. No, no.
And that's kind of part of the TCK experience, isn't it? That it's a neither nor experience.
Yes,
you're from one culture, and it wasn't the culture you were from. You weren't living that way.
And it wasn't we were on the Amazon, so we were an hour by boat downriver from Manaus. And so the culture of that area is different than the city culture.
People sometimes say, well, how could it be normal or what is the third culture? But a culture is something shared, and you did share it with those.
Yeah, you shared it. There is a commonality between us.
Well, let me talk a little bit about reentry, because I think for an awful lot of kids who grow up overseas, overseas is not the issue. People think, oh, how could you?
Oh, no, that's not the issue.
No, how could you live where it's so foreign? What was the issue for you?
Coming back. That was, and furlough, even furlough, there was an escapism to it.
Because?
You had a calendar and it was a year.
So you could survive.
And plus, my parents were traveling and I loved to drive. I still love to drive.
So when you came back, you were expected to be like...
Yeah, you're expected to make it.
Did you move to an African-American community or...
We were always...
What was the community you were in?
In Evansville, we were always part of my parents' church, my mother's home church. So you're always involved in that. You know, when you come back for this, after a while I had to tell myself, you know what? You just have to figure out this thing because there's no end date. There's no end date. You're not traveling. You're not moving. How are you going to do this?
We haven't really looked a lot in our mission culture, in the TCK world, enough. This is coming, but what is the same and what is the difference for somebody who is doing it as a minority, at least what we would call minority in the States? And I have my presuppositions, but I would like to hear from you because I think you have a double reentry.
Yeah, you do have a double reentry. And I want to hit on something you said before I forget it. You talked about, for like my parents, they're coming home. And, you know, they plan when they go on the field. I mean, there's, you know, serious plans about we need this computer, we need this, we need that. When we transition back, there are no plans.
And why do you think that was?
Because they're coming home. They don't need plans.
From their perspective.
My mom doesn't need plans. All she needs to do is that time, get to grandmother's door, you know, and get to church. Because that's her family and that's her church. And she can figure out from there. You know, and for us, you know, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I have to wear this. I've got to do that.
Do you think your parents ever thought about making plans for you?
I think a little bit, but it was all out of their mindset.
I think one of the things sometimes a lot of parents don't understand when they're raising kids overseas is exactly what you said, that their world is not the same as their children's world. And certainly my mother said to me once, she said, until you started doing all this stuff with TCKs, it never occurred to me Chicago wasn't your home. And I said, but Mom, why would it be my home? I was born and raised in Nigeria. She said, well, I'm from Chicago. I said, so? Because that wasn't my world. It wasn't where I'd been. So you come back, and first off, this is where I think the double comes in. Your parents are expecting you, number one, to come back to their culture, which would be an African-American subculture. But not only did you have the Brazilian TCK experience, MK, but now when you come home, people are expecting you not only to be American, but to be African-American, which is another culture. And you've actually grown up, from what you've told me, in a different culture than what would be African-American here. I grew up in a different culture than what would be white American at the time. But when I came back, that was what I was expected to be. And so it was kind of like I'd had my TCK world and I came back. But here, you're expected to be African-American, but you've had sort of two cultures distant here.
There's no roadmap for me. There's no path that I can go, okay, somebody's gone this way. I know lots of MKs, and I don't know any African-American MKs. I know of two that their parents served on the other part of the Brazilian field, but I've never met them. And actually, one of my goals, I would like to meet them, because I'd like to know, how did you do this thing? Because there's no map, so I'm making it up as I go.
When I grew up in Nigeria, I knew when I was different than the people around me that that was to be expected. I wasn't them. I could have friends. We could play together, but I wasn't the same. My life was not the same, exactly like you said. When we come back to our home countries, we're expected to be the same. If we had come as a true immigrant, like someone came and everybody knows you're from another place, they will give you space not to know the cultural language.
There's space and there's assistance. Yes, when you are an MK or from that, you're expected to jump right in.
And what did you expect of yourself?
I expected to make it. I've just now been able to get myself to realize, look, you're not gonna hit where everyone else is at. And one day it hit me because I was listening to these parents talk, African Americans talk about their kids, and they're like funding their kids for this and funding their kids for that. And I looked at them, didn't mean to, but I looked at them, and I just kind of looked, and I was like, you know what? You don't have your parents to fund this and that.
You said that to yourself.
Yeah, and I was saying it to myself. I don't have my parents to, you know, because they were bailing their kids out for something ridiculous in my MK mindset. And their parents were bailing them out, the basic stuff, so they could go do something they wanted to do. I'm like, you know, you're not on the same plane. People might look at you as the same, but you just, you know, you're not. And you're just going to have to realize that. Other people might not understand that, but you're going to have to realize that.
Right, and I think, so there's really two expectations in the hidden immigrant issue, that because we thought of ourselves as American, African-American, whatever, we expected when we went back where everybody was quote-unquote like us, we would also then fit.
Well, I knew I didn't fit.
Okay.
I already knew that from my experiences. From elementary on, I always knew that I was African-American. I knew my culture. I knew my stuff. But I talked to my kids, there's this paradigm I always had to deal with. I was raised with my culture, with my stories. My dad, my mom raised me in that, those things. So I knew Sojourner Truth. I knew these stories. But I would come back to these African-Americans who didn't know anything. And so in some sense, I knew more of my history. But yet they look at me and go, you talk white. And I go, no, I don't. Then they go, well, what's that funny accent? And I knew that from little on, that I wasn't quite. So I didn't expect to fit in, but it was like, okay, what am I going to do?
One of the things that happens for many of us then is you come up with a question of who am I? Where do I belong?
Who am I?
Mm-hmm. And how have you dealt with that?
I wrote about it, talked about it. My friends, my MK friends, we were a very big structure for ourselves. We were our support system in a lot of ways. So, for example, if my friend went on furlough, when they came home, we debriefed. And that was also part of that calendar I talked about, you know, because you knew at the end of the calendar you were gone, you were done. But I also knew at the end of that calendar I had my friends. I had my Brazilian friend, I had my other friends to talk to, so we could debrief. And part of the debrief session with my friends, they would tell me what other African Americans did in their school. So I didn't just get my story. Then we would discuss it. And because we dealt with culture and people, that was our life. We sit down, we talk, we start to talk about culture, people, why people do things. So that's what we do. Every time we came home, or somebody came back to Brazil, and using that term as home, we would debrief and talk about, okay, and discuss, well, what are you going to do? And, well, and my friends would say, well, maybe this will work, or maybe that will work.
Sounds like you had a pretty good system.
As an MK on the field, it was really good, because we could talk and discuss. The unfortunate thing is it didn't stay together afterwards.
Okay, one of the things somebody's done some recent research on is saying it's critical for people to find ways to keep connections between their parts of life. What happened for you, and what might you have done different, or have you been able to reconnect? And the reason for that is so that you realize that that life is still part of you.
It's kind of like we were all helicoptered out in the water and expected to make it. And it's not that I didn't want to talk to Digby, my friend growing up, my Brazilian MK. It's not like we didn't want to converse, but we were both, you know, trying to get to this point where we needed to get. And it's not that we didn't want to discuss and didn't want to talk. It's just when you're trying to make it and someone else is trying to make it, you know, and you're doing the basics, you don't have time to figure out how to do this. You're just making it from today till tomorrow.
Do you think that your organization could have been helpful, or...
It would have helped if we had people who knew what we were dealing with, that were there with us at different stages, at different points. People who could keep the network together. But sometimes I don't think they even realized we had the network. You know, it was because they'd see us hang and talk and chill, and they didn't think, okay, that's their network. How do we keep it together?
You know, you say a very interesting thing there, because I think a lot of things are done intuitively. And it's important to put names on them, what you've just said, that this is a network, so that people understand the value of it.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.